An F-22 Raptor can fly at 1,500 miles per hour. An intercontinental ballistic missile travels at 15,000 miles per hour. But cyber attacks travel at the speed of light, and nothing the military has can keep up, least of all the acquisition process. My next guest says that's too big a hindrance to better cyber defenses. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Dan Cheney is a judge advocate and joins me from the 12th Air Force at Davis-Monthan Base in Arizona. Lieutenant Colonel Cheney, good to have you on.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So you have written about this, and your piece was published about your feeling that Congress should do something to speed up DoD cyber acquisitions. And of course, every year Congress looks at acquisition in the Defense Department and it expresses itself through the National Defense Authorization Act. Is there anything left to cover here in terms of defense acquisition?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the defense acquisition process is slow by design, and that's completely understandable. When you're spending billions of dollars of other people's money, the number one thing on taxpayers' minds is fraud, waste, and abuse. I mean, they're concerned about, hey, where are our tax dollars going? So the system has been built, has been skewed in favor of sort of overarching principles. My old professor at GW, Steve Schooner, has talked about competition, transparency, integrity being the main overarching principles of our system. That's what the system is aimed to do, and that's great. The problem is, like you said, when cyber is happening, the attacks can happen so fast and the threat is evolving so quickly, it's not fast enough. The acquisition system is not fast enough to keep up.
You feel there are products, services, technologies that need to be acquired that may not be already in the government when something happens and they need to respond to it.
Well, that's part of the problem. And I think in the 1990s, there was this push towards buying more what we call commercial off-the-shelf COTS technologies. And that's great for certain kinds of technologies. You can go to IBM, Oracle, Microsoft and buy, you know, the latest version of Microsoft Word or whatever it is. But when you're talking about cyber weapons and cyber defense, these are technologies that may not even exist. And that's part of the problem is the defense acquisition system takes often 7 to 10 years when you go from the drawing board to the production line to get something, to get a major weapon system online. It takes a long time, but cyber is evolving faster than that. Not only are the attacks fast, but the types of attack, we don't even know what the next kind of attack is going to be.
And you've mentioned that the 2016 NDAA did extend rapid acquisition for cyber. Describe what it does and what else it should do if it could be even further developed.
Well, there are two different authorities that Congress has expanded, Rapid Acquisition Authority and the Special Emergency Procurement Authority, and neither one of them really does enough. Without getting into the details of each of those, I mean, I can say this much. 97% of the cyber, at least when the math I did in my own research, 97% of the money the DoD is spending on cyber acquisitions is being spent under the old process, the same 7 to 10 year acquisition cycle. Only 3% is really being affected by those changes. So that isn't really changing how we're doing cyber acquisitions. 3% is a very small proportion of that money. The other problem is that these two measures are really focused, oriented toward defense and recovery. And with cyber, if you're really only authorizing the money to be spent at the 11th hour, it's already too late at that point. It's already, if a devastating cyber attack has happened and has wiped out a lot of our defense capability, it's really too late for Congress to say, okay, now you can spend all this money without having to go through that 7 to 10 year acquisition cycle, and now you can spend the money to defend yourself. Well, at that point, it's too late.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Cheney. He's a judge advocate for the Air Force. And I want to go back to that point about the fact that only 3% of the money is spent under the Rapid Acquisition Authority. Could it be that there's simply a cultural change that has to be made where people are more willing to use this authority and maybe the authority itself is adequate?
Well, possibly. And I've written a couple of papers on this, and I guess that's maybe a discussion for another day. But I wrote another paper a couple of years ago about using agile software development methods. And what I pointed to, and I received some criticism for this, wasn't a popular thing to say, was that part of it was cultural. Part of the reason that we use an antiquated system for developing software in the DoD, whether we're doing it internally or whether we purchase it, is there's a culture that's embedded that we do software development in a certain way. And yeah, absolutely, culture is part of it, no doubt.
And on the idea of that most of the money is spent on defense and recovery, as opposed to what?
John Yoo came out with a book a couple of weeks ago. I just got it in the mail from Amazon a couple of days ago. Haven't had a chance to read it yet. But one of the things he points out, I was listening to an interview, book interview about his new book, and he said that cyber is a lot more like the Cold War, a lot more like mutually assured destruction, because defense is really hard in the cyber world. It's really easy, really cheap to attack. I've heard experts say that in a couple of hours, they could teach you the basics on how to do cyber attacks. So it's really cheap to attack. It's really hard to defend against. So in that sense, the best defense is a good offense. The best defense to cyber attacks is building up an arsenal, a deadly arsenal that no one would dare attack us. If we are focused on defending and recovering, it's already too late.
And so could agile or rapid acquisition be used to develop those kinds of capabilities? I guess you're mainly talking about the acquisition of software services here, correct?
Software and hardware, but software is a big part of what the DoD does. The Defense Science Board in 2009 put out a report saying that 90% of our functionality in the DoD depends on software. So, yeah, I keep leaning towards software, but really any cyber attack, whether we're talking about physical electronic attacks on our computer and network systems, or we're talking about software attacks, really either or, both are very important.
And you've also written about time and materials contracts that in opposition to the way Agile works. What's your thought about time and material and whether they apply to this kind of problem?
Well, time and material contracts are not favored. And I mean, again, it's back to cost controls and worries about fraud, waste, and abuse and all those kinds of things. So for very good reasons, policymakers, congressmen are concerned about what the taxpayer is going to think. And so time and materials contracts are considered, kind of dangerous, that they might be an expensive way of buying things. And what I point out is that what time and materials contracts require is a lot of close supervision. And that dovetails really nicely with the way agile software development works. Because the gist is that the DoD spends a lot of money on waterfall, which is kind of this idea that you can say up front what you want, and then a year down the road come back and say, okay, show me what you made. Agile, on the other hand, is coming back to me every day and saying, well, here's what I want, here's what I built, and coming back and saying, well, is that what you wanted? Well, no, not exactly. Could you tweak it like this or that? And making these iterative sort of changes. Well, time and materials would work better if you have that sort of close supervision. So it's an unfavored contract vehicle, but I think with Agile, the two work really well together.
It would almost be like having software development on tap, and since you would be using limited, definable amounts of it at a time, depending on what your need was, it would not be like using time and materials for waterfall.
Exactly, exactly.
And does that require legislation?
I think that's a fair question. I mean, I think, like you said, the authority is sometimes there, but there's definitely a reluctance culturally to use that authority. Congress is skeptical about time and materials contracts, and they like the sort of control. What I wrote about my previous paper is that there's a lot of talk about agile, but when it comes down to it, Congress likes to have things planned out years in advance and likes to know what the DoD is doing. And this doesn't work well in cyber, where things are changing so fast and it's so hard to plan in advance.
Lieutenant Colonel Dan Shaney is a judge advocate for the Air Force. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
We'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.